Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. You're now listening to another life-changing message from Pastor Tony Williams.
Come with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15. I'm going to read from verse 15 through to verse 18. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Actually, we'll start from verse 14. In the Amplified, it says, "Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. Look carefully, then, how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as the wise, sensible, and intelligent people. Make the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated by the Holy Spirit." Again, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your presence here tonight. We thank you for your presence. It's been in this place all day long. And even as we are here in your presence tonight, we ask you again for a fresh touch from heaven. Take us to a deep place within yourself. Open our understanding. Open, even as we've just sang, open our understanding to hear your voice, to know your will, to live as you would have us live, to operate as you will have us operate. Come, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. Even now I ask you, Lord, to anoint me afresh. Anoint me afresh. Your word is already anointed, but I'm asking you, Lord, to anoint me afresh. Because I can't do it without you. Can't do it without you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Paul here is writing to the church in Ephesians, and he is, as he would normally do, give them a series of instructions. He is now coming to the end of his life and of his time on the earth, and he wanted the church in Ephesus to be very mindful and very thoughtful of not only the days that they were living in, but also the days that were to come. And he makes it very clear that, again, the focus needs to be on the return of Jesus Christ. So he leaves them a number of things, more than I am going to share with you now, but the gist of what I want to communicate to you is he tells them that you need to walk in the light. You know, we need to be a people who are walking in the light, not in darkness. We are children of the light. And children of the light are not afraid to make known their deeds. Only those who try to conceal who they are and what they are, find themselves in predicaments that are beyond their control. But when the light shines upon us, the first thing that happens when the light of Jesus Christ shines upon us is he examines our hearts and he shows us who we truly are. And he wants us to be a people who are walking in the light, even as he is in the light. Because then John says, as we walk in the light and as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I want to say to you that the blood of Jesus doesn't automatically cleanse anybody. The blood of Jesus, and I'll touch on this later on, has an ongoing and continual work of cleansing and purifying any sin that might prevail or try to prevail in our hearts and in our lives. But it doesn't happen automatically. There is a requirement upon the child of God to walk in the light as he is in the light. There is a requirement for the child of God to walk in the light as he is in the light and to have fellowship with him, to have fellowship one with another. And the Bible says, and then the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we've got to be a people who walk in the light. What else did Paul say? He said that we had to look carefully at how we walked. Even as we walk in the light, he goes on to explain what that would look like. He said, I want you to live purposefully. I want you to live worthily. I want you to live accurately. To live accurately is to live a life that is specifically based, established, and entrenched in the Word of God. It is based on the Word, it is established by the Word, and is entrenched in the Word of God. And he wants us to be a people who are living accurately, who are thinking accurately, who are acting and behaving accurately, a life that is worthy of the Lord Jesus, a life that is full of purpose. Doesn't want us to live unwise. God doesn't want us to live witless. He doesn't want us to live without being sensible. We have a supernatural intelligence. There is no child of God that is a simpleton. You have access to the libraries of all creation. You have access to the libraries of all infinite wisdom, because the Spirit of God lives in you. And he has made himself known to you. So we have got to be a people who act accordingly. What else did Paul say? Then it goes on to say that we need to redeem the time. We need to walk in the light. We need to be a purposeful people. We need to be a people who are worthy of our calling. But we are to also redeem the time. Why? Because the days that we are living in are very evil. So I've said this a few times. Time is the most expensive commodity that any person can ever have. And it's one of the easiest things to waste. Easiest things to waste. But by the grace of God, he has given us the ability to almost purchase back or buy back time that we have lost. I don't know how God does it. I don't even know how it's possible for such a thing to happen. But you need to understand, it can happen, it does happen, and it should happen. Because your God and my God is not a God that is bound by time. He lives in infinity. He lives in eternity. So if he wants to empower you to be in a position where the time that you have been allotted is maximized to the fullest of its capacity, then he will do so. And we have got to be willing for him to do so. And one of the key things that enables us to be a people who are redeeming the time is that we are able to do so when we firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. Because if we know his will, then we don't waste our time on silly things. Because the will of God for your life is the perfect vision for your life. And the vision that God has for your life is the thing that must constrain every aspect of your life. The kingdom of heaven is the outworking of God's will. So you need to understand that every single one of us in this room, we all have a kingdom. We all have a kingdom because your kingdom is simply the outworking of your will. That's all it is. So when we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are praying, God, come and do your will. Let your will be outworked on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we pray that prayer in that way. So there is a kingdom of God, there is a kingdom of heaven, but there is also a kingdom of Tony Williams. You have your own kingdom. You have your own kingdom. And the reason why this is important for us to really get hold of is this. Until we are willing to lay down everything, until we are willing to lay down our very rights of possessing it, because God has given us a kingdom. Because he's given us a will to outwork. Until we are ready to say, God, I'm laying it down. Not my way, your way. Not my will, your will. We will then be saying, God, not my kingdom come, but your kingdom come. Not my will be done, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is when we are able to redeem time. Because the minute we lay down our kingdom and we embrace, truly embrace the kingdom of God that we have now entered into and that we are now a part of, guess where we're working from? Eternity. We're not working from time anymore. We are working from eternity. Why? Because eternity will then have invaded time. And that's when you see acceleration happening. That's when you say, well, in a year's time, I'm trusting and I'm believing that this will happen. And God says, guess what? It's going to happen within a month. That's when you say, well, Lord, where has this last decade gone? Look at how much time I have wasted. Oh, God, I'm praying that the next decade will be better than the last decade. We're coming to the end. We have 89 days left in this decade. Have you ever thought about that? This decade is coming to an end. And we say, God, where has this decade gone? I want this next decade to be more productive, more fruitful, more. I want to be more efficient, more effective for you in this next 10 years. And God said, if you can live from that place of eternity, forget about this happening over the next decade. I am going to cause acceleration to take place. And that which you did not do in the last 10 years, you're going to do it in the first year of the next decade. That's a word for someone today. But you need to be ready to lay down your will. I don't know how far we're going to get with holding on to our rights. I just don't get it. I just had this impression that it was finished at the cross. That cross represents the death of your rights and my rights, gone. I thought that was the case, but somehow we still hold on to our rights. I don't understand them. Walk in the light, walk with purpose, live in purpose, redeem the time, understand what the will of God is and do it. And then verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or debauchery, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the anchor scripture for tonight. That's where I'm landing and that's where we'll finish. Because why? Because every single thing that I've shared tonight, everything I've spoken on, is hinged on verse 18. Your ability to walk in the light and not to allow darkness to conceal the things that should not be concealed, so that you may have fellowship one with another with the Lord, and your sins might, your righteousness, and every single unrighteousness might be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Your ability to live with purpose, with focus, with determination, in a worthy way, in an accurate way. Your ability to redeem the time and to allow this acceleration of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and your ability to understand and to do the will of God is completely dependent on your ability and my ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Church, we need to be filled. And that's the question. When last were you filled with him? As we sang, we will watch, we will pray. You know, we will wait for that day. The oil is stored. The lamps have been made ready. Hearts are burning for the bridegroom and for the coming of the bridegroom. All of that and everything. I believe that this one verse, Ephesians 5:18, is the chief verse, the principal verse regarding the person, the purpose, the power of the Holy Spirit towards you and towards me. When was the last time you were filled? There's three things that we need to understand from this verse. And the three things that I want to touch on is simply based on those two words, be filled. The three things that we need to understand regarding the original text, regarding the Greek. The Greek language, the original language, highlights three things, very important things. If you're taking notes, the first thing is this. Be filled is not a suggestion. It is an instruction. It is a command. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. It is an absolute command. It is a requirement. It is a necessity of the Lord. I want to suggest tonight that the reason why we are tired is because we've not been filled for such a long time. The reason why we are weak is because we have not been filled for such a time, for such a long time. The reason why we've just had enough and we don't have clarity, we don't have confidence, is because we have not been filled with the Holy Spirit for such a long time. Where frustration comes, where confusion comes, they all arise because we have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, perhaps for such a long time. The child of God can go through their Christian lives, years, decades, without being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what that says to the Lord? I want to do this my way. Come on, let's be honest. I don't need you. All right, let's be very frank. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing is, it's not about power. I've taught this three or four times. It's not about power. It's about consecration. It's about saying, I am yours. This action, this act of allowing your Holy Spirit to fill me is me saying to you, I am your property. I rely upon you. I am owned by you. And I am ready to be used by you in whatever way you choose. But it also says that my dependence upon you is absolute. It says I cannot do one single thing that you have called me to do without you. Ah, but we can go weeks, months, years without being filled with this wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. And we have to say, okay, Lord, I need to just take a few steps back and assess my situation. Because I recognize that this is not a suggestion. It is a command. It is as pointed and definite as the preceding command. And it says, don't be drunk with wine. It's not talking about the argument of whether or not Christians should drink or not drink. That's not what Paul is talking about at all. But he's talking about when alcohol gets a hold of you and controls you. Because that is what debauchery is. When alcohol controls your life, when it determines your steps, when alcohol even prevents you from doing all the preceding things that he said, to walk in the light, to walk with purpose, to walk worthy of the Lord, to redeem the time, to know and understand the will of God. Not just alcohol, even though specifically that is what he's talking about, but any vice. In other words, anything that says, Lord, I recognize that you are God, and I recognize that your kingdom is absolute, but my kingdom needs to rise. My kingdom needs to come to the forefront. Oh, we don't say with our mouths, but we definitely say with our heart and our actions. And in the same way where he says this thing is going to get hold of you, control your life, determine your next steps, and ultimately determine your future and your destiny. In other words, this debauchery, if you like, will control you. In the same way, when you are filled with, don't be drunk with this wine, but be filled with my spirit. In other words, in the same way that this wine would control you to lead you to the place of destruction, my spirit will come and control you and lead you to the place of glory. Whereas the wine will control you and enslave you, the Holy Spirit, yes, he will control you, but he will liberate you. Amen. It's not a suggestion, it is an instruction. The second thing that the Greek shows us is this. When it says be filled, it uses what is referred as the passive mode. Passive mode. Now, what this means is something quite wonderful, because what the Lord is saying here is this. To be filled with the Holy Spirit has very little with what you can do or what you cannot do. And it has everything to do with what he does. You see, even with alcohol, we can open up and we can drink and we can do it ourselves. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. The only person who can fill us with his Spirit is King Jesus. That's why he is Savior, Healer, Baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and soon coming King. The only one who can. So what does that mean? It means that regardless of where you are, who you are, or why you are, he is the one who will fill you. You are not filled by merit. You are not filled by works. Even as we see in Ephesians 2:8, where it says about our salvation, your salvation and my salvation, we have been saved by what? Grace, through faith, and that not of our own, for it is a what? Gift of God. In the same way, you did not save yourself. When we came to Christ, we came wretched, spiritually filthy. We were broken, beyond repair, beyond hope. But he still saved us. Because it was, and it still is, by grace, through faith. I would like to suggest to you tonight that being filled with the Holy Spirit is exactly the same principle. And that is why we have no excuse. Oh, Lord, I don't think I'm good enough. I need to stop doing this first, and I need to put my life right here first, and I need to. Don't get me wrong. Sin is a problem. But even allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with sin does not automatically give us merits to say, oh, now I'm sinless, so now, Lord, fill me. It doesn't work that way. The reason why we deal with sin is so that we can come close to the one who is the lover of our soul. Because when he pours out his spirit, he doesn't say, okay, you stand over there. You stand over there. I don't like that sin. You stand over there, but I'm going to. You ready? You ready? You ready? Boom, take it. Like some of these dodgy evangelists. You say, take it. Take it. You throw anointing. How ridiculous. They come to the platform and they stand and they say, take what? How silly. May God have mercy upon us. Take it. No. In ancient times, when the prophets of old will anoint the kings and the priests of Israel, they were close. And they would have the cruses of oil in the horn. It was a horn. When David talks about, thou hast exalted my horn, he is talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the cruse of oil will be poured upon the king or the priest up close. That's why we have to deal with the issue of sin. Because we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is an ongoing, I'll talk about that in a minute. I don't want to go ahead of myself. But it is a cleansing work that has to be done. Even when the sin is dealt with, it does not say, oh, now you've earned the right to be filled with my Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. It is by grace through faith that the Holy Spirit must fill the life of the child of God. By the way, to be filled in the original language means to be made complete. Oh, you got to understand, if you were filled only 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, yesterday, you are living on some old experience that you have gone beyond. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doesn't say Jesus is the same yesterday, full stop. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He says that which you require, because to be filled in the Greek also means to be supplied. to be supplied with everything that you need. In fact, I think the best description of what it means to be filled, again, is found in this beautiful letter to the Ephesian church, where Paul writes in Ephesians 3, verse 16, I'll read through it. I'm not going to expand it or bring teaching on it. I'm just going to read it because I want to finish. He says in verse 16, may he grant to you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the... Oh, Lord, I don't want to preach on this. With mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, for you have not been saved by works, but by grace through faith. You are not being filled with the Holy Spirit by works, but by grace through faith. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Hallelujah. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it? That you may really come to know practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. Without experience, that you, knowledge without experience, that you may be filled, here we go, through all your being, unto all the fullness of God, may have, and that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled, there we go, and flooded with God himself. When Paul says those two words, be filled, this is exactly what he's talking about, and this is exactly what happens. So how is it possible that we are content with being the fact that we were filled a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, a decade ago? And we wonder why we are dry. We wonder why we are about to throw in the towel. We wonder why we are about to give up. And even now, I can see it. Barriers being put up. Hurdles. Mountains. Some of the biggest mountains that we have been called by God to move are the mountains that we placed in front of ourselves by ourselves. Oh, Jesus. I can see it in the spirit. Your minds are ticking. How will it ever happen? Look at the state of my life. Look at the busyness of my life. Look at what's happening in my world right now. How will this ever happen? With all of my anger and my aggression, how will this ever happen? With what's going on in me, this pride that I can't overcome, how will this ever happen? And the Lord says, it's not down to you. You can't fill yourself. I'm the only one who can fill you. And also, I'm the only one who can actually cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, don't walk in darkness. Walk in the light where you belong. Let's have fellowship, communion, partnership, intimacy. And I will cleanse you. I will remove your ability, natural ability, to make the excuses, to put up the barriers, to say, I can't, I can't, I can't, which in actual fact is I won't. To lay down your rights and your kingdom that you might uphold my will and my kingdom. It's an instruction. It's completely down to him, because it's by grace. And the third and final one, it's an ongoing thing. It's very clear from the Greek. You will never find it in the English translation, any of the English translations. The Amplified is the closest that you will find to this, where it says in 18, verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled, ever, continually, an ongoing thing. So just as the blood of Jesus continually washes and cleanses us, because we are walking in the light. That's it. It won't continue. I'm telling you now, don't deceive yourself. Let us not be a people who are deceived. If we are walking in darkness, there is no cleansing blood. The blood is there, the power is there, but if we are walking in darkness, the blood does not cleanse. The blood only cleanses when we have acknowledged where we are, we have repented from where we are, and we have made the decision to walk away. And that's the meaning of the word repent, to return. If this is darkness, and I'm not even talking about the obvious things, talking about all the sexual and all the things that... No, I'm just talking about the pride. I'm talking about the jealousy. I'm talking about the gossip. I'm talking about the murmuring. I'm talking about, you know, the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. The things that we excuse ourselves and say, well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, after all, sin is sin. No, sin is not sin. That's another story. But he says, this is darkness. You're facing the wrong way. Return. That's repentance. It's two words. Return. To repent in the Latin is two words. Return. So where your back was once facing the Lord, and you're facing darkness, in darkness, he says, return, because now your back is facing darkness, bye-bye, and you are now looking at Jesus, where there is fellowship, continual fellowship, where there is cleansing, continual cleansing, and then where there is filling, continual filling. And the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. He does so continually. He does so without any reservation. Band, please come back. And my prayer tonight is that whatever barriers we have put up between us and this happening, whatever excuses we've made that have prevented this from happening, and even that, well, I don't feel anything, I don't speak in tongues, so I'm not filled. That's a nonsense, by the way. Okay? Because that's not in Scripture. There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, not 1. 9. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives us those gifts according to his will. Because it's his kingdom. If it was down to your will, then it's your kingdom. And let's see how far we get with our kingdom. Do some speak in tongues as soon as they get filled? Of course I did. But you may not do. It doesn't mean you're not filled. I've just read to you, and I won't read it again, but find it for yourself. Get out your phone, your tablet, and take a look again at Ephesians 3. Read it for yourself. Ephesians chapter 3. All of it, maybe, but particularly from verse 16 through to verse 21. You see what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. And that's and out of that place of being founded in the love of Christ will flow effortlessly every gift of the Holy Spirit that He has ordained for you to move in. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not first and foremost about power, miracle signs and wonders. It is not about gifts. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is first and foremost about Him, about being consecrated to Him, belonging to Him, being possessed by Him, being controlled by Him. That is the number one priority. And then from that place of being founded, established in the love of Christ, by the love of Christ, will flow, naturally flow, every gift according to His will.